Wrong. Wrong. The Katy Christensen part is right. Carmichael Dave out today. He has food poisoning, apparently bad enchiladas or whatever. Hopefully he's back tomorrow. Matt George joining me behind the glass, filling in for, I don't know, me? Is that how that works, Matt?
I'm the Katy today.
You're Katy today. And I'm Dave, apparently, because on the text line, someone says that they love me, but I'm a big homer. And I don't understand how I'm being a homer, just clearly talking about the fact that anybody that puts any weight into the reports that the Kings were trying to put together a deal for Kyrie Irving that included De'Aaron Fox and Costa Kufis is complete nonsense.
Because if you were really the Carmichael Dave today, you'd be talking about how great Lonzo Ball is, because everybody knows Dave is a Lakers fan.
He is. He's a Lakers fan. Real quick, before we get to Howard Beck, I just want to give some other NBA news because we're going to get into him with him about the whole Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, Cleveland fiasco that's going on over there in Ohio. But just an update on some other things around the league. John Wall announced that he has signed an extension with the Wizards. It's a 4-year extension worth $170 million. The Wizards also locked up Otto Porter Jr., signing him to a 4-year, $106 million offer sheet to keep him from going to the Brooklyn Nets. But yeah, the crazy thing is there's plenty of news, and we talked about it, Matt, earlier, about how the NBA offseason is kind of superseding the NFL offseason, and we're talking more about that now than the NFL, which is pretty amazing. But the big news today has been about Kyrie Irving requesting the trade from Dan Gilbert, the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. We're going to be joined right now by Howard Beck, NBA writer for the Bleacher Report. Howard, good morning. This is Katy and Matt. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. How have you been with all of the chaos that has been going on the last few days?
Well, you know, it's not my chaos, so, you know. I mean, I'd rather be in my position right now just trying to assess what's going on than to be, say, the owner or GM of the Cleveland Cavaliers or to be a Cavaliers fan. You know, it's amazing how quickly these things change, that, you know, the high of 13 months ago, Cleveland celebrating its first championship in any sport in over a half century. Mm-hmm. And here we are a short time later, and you know, LeBron, you know, seemingly has one foot out the door. Maybe Kyrie Irving is demanding a trade. You know, it just all comes crashing down so quickly. And, you know, it's a little, you know, it's dizzying, even for those of us on the outside.
Yeah, and it's, for me, for some time now, Howard, I've felt like something is going to happen in Cleveland. There's just, even going back to before the draft, when Jimmy Butler's name was being linked in trade talks, and then reports came out that actual players on that Cleveland roster had reached out to him and was like, man, you don't want to come here. It's too tumultuous. There's too much stuff going on. And I kind of got the feeling at that point that there's more going on behind the scenes than we're aware of, which is mind-boggling in the sense of the success that they've had for the last few years. But how surprised were you when the news came out that on July 7th, Kyrie actually asked for a trade? Was that shocking to you, or is that something that you're like, okay, I could see this happening?
No, I think it is shocking. I don't think anybody really saw it coming. I mean, listen, there were rumblings in Cleveland about Kyrie not necessarily being happy, and it's been interesting the last few days as everybody starts going through the transcripts of old interviews and, you know, bringing back those quotes. There were plenty of times where Kyrie Irving kind of alluded to the idea that, hey, it's not easy necessarily to play the sidekick role, the Robin role to LeBron's Batman, that it's been an adjustment. And everyone, you know, pointed out accurately that just before LeBron arrived, Kyrie had signed a fat new extension as the franchise star. Mm-hmm. And they had no success with him in that role. But, you know, he thought this was going to be his team going forward. And all of a sudden, one of the greatest players in history comes marching back in saying, my show now. Now, that said, you go to 3 straight finals, you win a championship, and you have kind of success that you know, you didn't even sniff before. And I think, you know, for most people, you'd think, look, it's not bad. It's not bad being number two to one of the greatest players of all time. It's not, no one's asking you to be number two to, you know, just some fellow all-star. You know, it's not like number two to Jimmy Butler or number two to Paul George. I mean, these are great players, but they're not LeBron, right? LeBron's a generational player, a Mount Rushmore type. It's an honor to be the number two to that guy. So the shocking part of it is that Kyrie Irving's own self-interest is so magnified in his own head that it trumps being next to LeBron James mm-hmm. for at least one more season. And even if you think LeBron's leaving next year, and that's not his, from what we know, his cited reason for wanting to leave, even if you thought LeBron was leaving in a year, you give yourself one more chance to make another title run, because wherever Kyrie's going next year, unless it's the Warriors, he's not winning a title in 2018.
Howard Beck of Bleacher Report joining us. Howard, do you really believe that it's or Kyrie's number one reason for wanting a trade is because he wants to be the number one guy, or is he looking at the state of Cleveland, their lack of direction, their lack of a general manager, what owner Dan Gilbert's doing, and think, man, this is a dumpster fire waiting to happen. I want to get out while I still can.
If those things are true, he and his people have done a really lousy job of conveying that message in the last 72 hours. The story broke Friday afternoon. Everybody has jumped on it since. And you've got dozens and dozens of reporters looking into this. And, you know, now Kyrie Irving is abroad right now on, I don't know, a shoe tour or whatever. But listen, there are various ways of making sure you get your message out there. And if the narrative that has emerged as the first wave of being that Kyrie simply wants his own team, which, by the way, given his makeup, given the things he has said, given the way he plays, given what we know of his personality, is not a stretch. Like, that's a very believable premise. Whether these other things have some bearing, the things you alluded to, Dan Gilbert being kind of a lousy owner, the ridiculous handling of the David Griffin situation and the subsequent departure of David Griffin, the time it's taken to get a new GM in place, the fact that there have been no real roster upgrades, those are real reasons to be concerned. But look, in most situations, you say you go to management or you do whatever you have to do to use your own leverage and say, guys, get it together or I will be out of here. But he's got 2 years left in his deal. And again, at least 1 year left with the LeBron, Kevin Love core that he's demanding a trade now. It doesn't seem like that's about the direction of the franchise. They're not falling off a cliff. They're still the best team in the East as we speak right now. They are still the team that is the odds-on favorite to go back to the finals right now. So we can talk about dysfunction all we want. We've all seen dysfunction. I covered the Lakers for 7 years. There was dysfunction. But people weren't screaming to get out amid finals runs.
So from the Cavaliers' standpoint then, Howard, do you think it's in their best interest for them to hold on to Kyrie despite him wanting to be gone and make another run? Or would it be in their best interest to maybe try and package him now and get good young talent or good pieces right away?
That's a really tricky question. I think the problem is, you know, can you assuage his concerns, whatever they may be? If what he really wants is to simply have his own team and to not be playing with LeBron anymore, there's nothing you can tell him really other than, listen, we think LeBron's gone next summer. Be the dutiful teammate for one more year and then the whole franchise is yours. I mean, I guess you could, that would be one pitch. Another pitch would simply be, you know, look, we are fully, hearing your concerns and we want to make sure that you are happy in your career. But listen, we can't break this up right now. We need to play this out to the extent that we can and try to make another finals run. And who knows, the Warriors have an injury or something. You might be on the championship, you know, stage again next June. I don't know if there's anybody in the franchise who's capable, whether it's LeBron himself, whether it's the new GM, Kobe Altman, whether it's Dan Gilbert. I don't know if there's anybody who can convince him otherwise. So holding on to him, you know, if you've got an unhappy Kyrie Irving going into camp, you're taking some risk.
Howard Beck of the Bleacher Report joining us this morning on The Drive. The way I look at this is that Kyrie Irving has zero leverage. He says he wants out, but he has plenty of time left on his contract. Then you look at the flip side of things where LeBron James has come out and said that he will not waive his no trade clause and that he wants to remain with the team next season. But he's also not saying, Howard, that he's going to remain after that, which has been, there's already been so many rumors about his eventual departure from Cleveland the second time. So if you're the Cavaliers right now, I agree with you. They're the best roster in the East, without a doubt. But what are your options heading into this? Because can you go and legitimately have another title run when there seems to be such a toxic environment within that team?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how toxic the environment is. If Kyrie is there and he's unhappy, then there's the toxic environment. If Kyrie settles down and decides he's okay with staying, there's not a toxic environment. I mean, look, there's clearly been some upheaval in the front office, and there's some, you know, I think valid concerns about their direction, but the roster is fine. It's not any better than it was. It's not going to get any better, I don't think. But it was good enough to get to the finals again, and probably will be again. So I don't think that there is concern about toxic environment, except for whatever Kyrie himself might bring to it. But you're right. He doesn't have a no trade clause. There's 2 years left on his deal. He really has no true leverage other than the threat of creating a bad environment by being an unhappy camper if he's still there in October.
And with all of this news coming out, and I think it shocked a lot of people, obviously, because most people can't wrap their brain around someone that is playing on a team like the Cavs that have been to 3 straight finals, won one of them. You're playing next to the best player in the world. I don't think people can wrap their brain around someone saying, hey, I want to be the guy, I want out of this, because this is a situation where you're putting yourself in a position to win another title. So when you look at this, all of the rumors that are now coming out about teams that are interested, and of course the Kings were involved in that. And I've been telling people all morning, don't put any validity in those rumors that the Kings are willing to package De'Aaron Fox and Kostas Koufos to take on Kyrie Irving. What is your take on that? What do you know about that situation specifically?
Well, every team in the league that needs a point guard or that needs a franchise star, I think, is almost obligated to at least check in with the Cavaliers and see what it would take. And the Kings are in that category. We don't know if De'Aaron Fox is a franchise star yet. We don't know if anybody on that roster is a franchise star. We don't know, you know. Now, look, they've chosen a path. They have loaded up on young talent, and some of it some very good and intriguing young talent. They've plugged in a couple of veterans to try to help the kids along. And I like what the Kings are doing right now. They're in a good place. There's a discernible, definable direction right now for the first time in a while. That's good. Whether you want to throw that out the window because you have the chance to grab an all-NBA caliber point guard, you have to at least look into it, right? So I don't know what that would cost. We don't know what the parameters of a trade would be right now. We don't know what the other competitive offers may be around the league. But the Kings need a franchise star. They need somebody to galvanize the team, the locker room, the fan base. I don't think, you know, I'm not the biggest Kyrie Irving fan in the world, but I think you're obligated to look into that.
Howard, if the Cavaliers were to pull a trigger and make a move granting Kyrie's request, would you think they would go for a trade like a De'Aaron Fox, someone, a young piece to potentially start a rebuild or get a head start on a rebuild right now? Or would they rather go out and get a win-now guy to pair with LeBron to try and make another run?
See, this is why the timing of this trade demand is so problematic and, I think, foolish. Foolish for Kyrie, foolish and for the positions putting the Cavaliers in as well, because to your question, and it is the most important question for the Cavaliers, what kind of trade are you looking for? You're trading Kyrie Irving, assuming you're doing it. There will be great offers out there. There will be competitive offers. He's got 2 years left. That's enough that you can, I think, extract some pretty good payment for him. But if you're a team that's in a teardown mode, you know what you do. You go for young players and draft picks, as many draft picks as you can get. But this is not a teardown team. And you can't just assume LeBron's leaving next summer. And if you blow this trade and you get the wrong package, you may just push LeBron right out the door. You have still the core of a team that just went to 3 straight finals. If you have to trade Kyrie Irving with LeBron there one more year, I think it's still your obligation to maximize, whether it's 1 year, whether you think LeBron might sign up for another one after that. You still have to. You're obligated to keep a championship caliber team around him. Anything short of that, and now you're the one pushing him out the door. So I don't think the De'Aaron Fox and some other young players and draft picks would be the way for them to go. I think that they need to get, you know, I don't know if, because Miami's on his list, right? Would Dragic and a package built around Dragic and picks or something, would that work? Because now you've got a veteran coming in, maybe. But, you know, on the flip side of it, if LeBron leaves in 2018 and you went for the short-term package instead of the package of youth and draft picks, now you are short-circuiting your future a little bit. So they really are between a rock and a hard place.
Howard Beck, writer for the Bleacher Report, joining us this morning on The Drive. LeBron has a no-trade clause. We all know that. He's one of only 3 players in the league, Dirk as well as Carmelo Anthony. And a lot of the rumors the last week or two has been about Carmelo Anthony and his desire to join the Houston Rockets. He would waive that no-trade clause. specifically to go to Houston, but then that seemed to be on hold when Scott Perry took over as the general manager there. What is happening right now in New York, and what do you think the likelihood of Carmelo Anthony being on the Knicks is once the season starts?
That one is interesting. Yeah, Carmelo is ready to go. He hadn't been for years,
right,
but he's certainly ready to go now. He's lost faith in this franchise, and I think he realizes at age 33, if he's ever going to compete for anything at any meaningful level again, he's better off elsewhere. And the Knicks, I think, rightly had concluded a while ago that they were better off rebuilding around Kristaps Porzingis and moving on from Carmelo. Just because they all want that doesn't mean it's going to happen. The no-trade clause is an issue. That's on the Knicks for granting it in the first place. The desire of the Rockets to have Carmelo is great, but again, the pieces aren't there. You have to deal with all the cap rules. You have to deal with the Knicks needing to get the right kind of package back. You need to deal with the Rockets needing to offload Ryan Anderson's contract that the Knicks don't want to take. Now you need a third team. It's complicated. And if it weren't complicated, it probably would have already been done by now, because you have three parties that want this to happen. The Rockets want Carmelo, the Knicks would love to trade Carmelo, and Carmelo would love to go to the Rockets. It hasn't happened yet because it's complicated. Whether they can find the right solution, and that will answer your question as to whether or not Carmelo Anthony's in a Knicks uniform come October.
One of the craziest things about this story and how it's developed, I can understand how Carmelo Anthony would target Houston as a destination just based on the roster and what they could potentially do in the West. However, the most confusing part of this is the fact that Mike D'Antoni is the coach there, because we all know that there were reports. Yeah. It came out. Mike D'Antoni straight out said it. I believe it was just as early as March that he left because of Carmelo Anthony. And then you look at the fact that Melo now is saying, hey, I want to go to Houston, and we've squashed this beef. How much of that is true, and how much of it do you think is maybe a little short-sighted in the sense that, okay, you guys didn't get along before. He's still the same coach. What changes?
Well, it's a perfectly valid question, but a lot has changed. Mike D'Antoni has not fundamentally changed how he coaches. Carmelo has not fundamentally changed how he plays, and that was the source of their tension.
Yep.
Here in New York 5 years ago. But it's been 5 years. Carmelo's 33 now. He has less standing to say it's got to be all about me and the offense has to be built around me and I can't adapt. He's 33. He's on the downside. And he's going to a team, the Rockets, assuming this happens, where James Harden is absolutely the number one. And Carmelo Anthony is not in any position to argue that point. They just brought in Chris Paul, who is now the number two. And Carmelo and Chris Paul are also good friends. So the fact that these guys would be coming together with Carmelo as the third man in, I think, you know, both chronologically and in terms of where he would fit into that offense, there's less room for tension or argument with the coach at that point. Because, you know, here in New York, Mike D'Antoni had to deal with, you know, wanting to run a system that was not going to cater to Carmelo, but Carmelo's the franchise player. Mm-hmm. You have tension right from the get-go. In Houston, they've established the way they're playing. It works great because James Harden plays that way. It will work great with Chris Paul there. Carmelo just has to bend to the system at that point. And his best times in the NBA, his best years, have been playing with dominant and personality dominant, not just dominant play, all-star type point guards. Jason Kidd in New York for one season, Chauncey Billups in Denver and New York, because Carmelo needs to be held accountable by somebody he respects, you know, preferably another player. And that's what those guys did. That's what Chris Paul can do, which, again, removes the need for Mike D'Antoni to be the one saying, hey, move the ball.
Howard, going back to LeBron really quick, Stephen A. Smith reported or said that he's heard from his sources that LeBron himself could have been or was the one to leak this news about Kyrie wanting to be traded. Have you heard anything to prove that is true, and have, or is that something that you believe LeBron would do or is capable of?
I the answer to all of those questions is I don't know.
Well, and really, I mean, I guess, Matt, to just kind of make the point here, it was that Kyrie Irving's camp believed that LeBron was the one. Stephen A. Smith said that he didn't believe it. He wasn't sure. He wasn't going to say that that's what happened. But without a doubt, Howard, things are just a little bit crazy right now in Cleveland. And no matter what, all the drama, they're still the best team in the East. So there's just going to be so much news and so much attention focused on them. And we just have to sit back and see how it plays out, really.
Yeah, no, at this point, that's the thing. It's you know, Cleveland has to determine what their path forward is. They've got a new GM, Coby Altman, who's a really bright guy. He's just 34, but he's just thrust into, like, the craziest situation, going from, you know, the third in command in that front office to all of a sudden being promoted and with all of this going on. So, you know, the Cavaliers, look, they have time. It's July 24th. This doesn't have to happen tomorrow, but there's a lot for them to figure out. And, yeah, I think it's going to be some time before we know how this resolves itself.
Howard, thank you so much for taking the time to join us this morning. You guys can find him on Twitter at Howard Beck. You can read him at BleacherReport.com. We appreciate your time. We'll be talking to you again soon, hopefully this offseason before things get underway.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good one, Howard. Well, there you go. I mean, the crazy thing about everything that's going on right now in the NBA is that we have to put this in perspective. We're talking about the drama and chaos in Cleveland, and I think there's one thing we can all agree on. Despite everything that's going on, they're still the best team in the East and the team that's favorited to go back to a 4 straight NBA Finals. We're looking at the potential of the Warriors and the Cavs meeting again in the Finals. And I thought one of the best points that he made, Matt, was he responded to you. The point is that this team is the best in the East right now. And the choice that they make with Kyrie Irving, given the fact that he's requested a trade, is going to say a lot. Because I'm kind of with him in the sense that you know you have LeBron right now. You don't know if you're going to have LeBron the next year. You have to try and do everything you can to win now. And to me, that does not mean trying to get like a young De'Aaron Fox or, you know, assets that you can develop. They have to take that chance and do it now.
How prestigious is it to be the best in the East? I mean, Boston technically was the best in the East last year, and they got their butts kicked by Cleveland. So
yeah, that doesn't
what
matter.
What does that really
that
mean?
That doesn't matter, because as much as I was ragging on Cleveland because they really did not play well the last 2 months of the NBA regular season, when you go into the playoffs and you've got a 7-game series against any team in the East and you have LeBron James on your team, things change drastically.
But the best in the East can't even sniff the best of the West.
Yeah, well, we'll see right now. I'm the only two teams that I'm really curious about is Boston and Washington, especially since Washington was able to lock up Otto Porter Jr. That was a big piece to me. But whatever happens with Kyrie, that could maybe increase the odds for Boston and Washington and make it more of a legitimate chance. We just have to sit back and wait and see what Cleveland decides to do. And Coby Altman, I do not envy the situation that he's in right now. Thanks to Howard Beck for joining us. Coming up next, we're going to get into the British Open a little bit. Jordan Spieth had some heroics to be able to come out and win the whole thing yesterday. We're going to play some sound from that and maybe a little bit more on the conversation. Is he the most exciting player in golf since Tiger Woods? Not better, most exciting. All that when we come back on The Drive. I love it. See, when Carmichael Dave is not in the studio, I can dance and have fun and not have to have somebody, Katie, girl, woman. Carmichael Dave out today with food poisoning.
Does Dave know what dancing is?
I guess maybe that's karma. Have you ever seen him kind of dance?
Any dance?
Have you ever seen him even like kind of like get into a song a little bit?
Does he have rhythm?
It's the furthest thing from rhythm you've ever seen in your life. It's just disastrous. There's a reason.
He's a reason for the stereotype?
Yeah, basically.
Oh, man.
Yeah, basically.
Thanks, Dave.
This is The Drive. Like we said, Carmichael Dave out. Matt George, Katie Christensen here today. We got 30 minutes left in the show. By the way, did you know that you can hang out with the Sports 1140 Street Team, sponsored by Royal Roots? Loyal Roots. They'll be at the State Fair tonight. Come find the 1140 tent for awesome prizes from 6 to 10 tonight. Wow. You know, and 10 o'clock, by the way, because I live kind of over by Sac State in that area, 10 o'clock every night is when fireworks go off. It's just absolute insanity. My dog goes crazy. I have to calm him down. I'm sitting here like the old woman being like, it's fireworks, people having fun.
Trying to watch Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know what I have been really freaking like addicted to right now? The 30 for 30s. I can't get enough. I watched Brian and the Boz or whatever. I had no idea. I watched the one on Maurice Claret yesterday. George Best. I'm not even a soccer person, and I was like thrilled. It was really good.
That's a good one.
Really, I mean, and that begs the question. And actually, funny, it's on the text line earlier. Someone said, when do we get the LeBron 30 for 30 on how everyone hated playing with him? Like, you know, that is one that down the road, I really can't wait to see that. Is there one on Lance Armstrong, by the way?
If there is, I haven't seen it.
I don't think there is. And that's one that I would really like to see. And I was trying to, when the whole O.J. Simpson trial was going on last week, a parole hearing, you know, just media frenzy that was. I was trying to think of like 30 for 30s that haven't been made that I would really like to see. And Lance Armstrong was one of them. I was even like, okay, like what about Marion Jones and that whole thing? And like trying to go into like some different sports, you know, and see.
Michael Phelps would be a good one.
Because he's kind of, and this is the great thing about athletes, if you think about it this way, maybe you don't agree with it, but whenever like athletes that are superstars, like the best in their field, and Michael Phelps undoubtedly is, but he's had a lot of like problems, you know, DUIs, things like that. And so I think when stars of that caliber kind of have those things in their past, it makes for an intriguing 30 for 30. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll see it real quick. We're going to get to Mitch. He's been literally holding for an hour, and we'll see what Mitch in New Jersey has to say. Mitch, welcome to The Drive. It's Katie and Matt. How are you doing?
Hi, guys. Katie, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Matt, thanks again. Good show. Okay, let me get to the point instead of all the salutations. It's getting out of hand with the salaries. And these ball players, these superstars, want to lose it all. But Kyle Irving is a little different. If he wants to go play for the Nets, that's fine. I don't want to see them. The Kings had a great draft, great free agency signing. I'd love to see Irvin and Fox in the same backcourt, but they also had to sign Hill. And they got to do some Cleveland is another pickle. Who wants to play for Cleveland? I don't know if these defenders want to stay in Cleveland. They have their struggles. They'll wish to get themselves moved somewhere else. If Cleveland doesn't trade one of those guys, LeBron is leaving. And I don't know what leverage does Kyle Irvin have, and especially Cleveland. So they're in real pickle. And I hope LeBron plays for the Clippers, not the Lakers. How about I see you go to the Kings? Come on.
Mitch, first of all, I don't know that that's ever happening. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. You know, about the money part, like salaries are getting out of control. I completely disagree. I mean, it's what the market bears. It's the same thing with every time the conversation comes up with the comparison between the WNBA and the NBA. And I played in the WNBA. I'm not bitching about the salary because it's what the market bears. The NBA is making a massive amount of money. The TV contract alone, it should be that the players are reaping the rewards of this. They're benefiting from this because it's definitely not the NCAA. It's not like, you know, the NCAA and colleges are making all this money and the players aren't getting anything. Hey, the players are the reason that these TV deals that are astronomical are being signed. They should reap the rewards. And when you look at Kyrie Irving, you say money, it's too much, these players. He's willing to forfeit $200 million by asking for a trade. He no longer qualifies for that Supermax deal, and he would be missing out on $200 million. So I can't complain about the money or players wanting money because there's plenty of examples of players not really giving a care and just wanting to be in a better situation.
Yeah, in an old life, I might have been a grumpy old man that helped create the game of basketball because I always choose the game over the players or over what's happening on the court versus what's happening off the court. But the NBA is what it is today because of the star power of its individuals.
Yeah.
They've both worked back and forth. LeBron James was made from basketball, but he's also made basketball in a lot of ways. Michael Jordan's the same way.
And I think that goes to the conversation we had earlier, Matt, about the NBA versus the NFL.
Totally.
Because it's very clear in the NFL that it's about Roger Goodell and the owners. And they want to make the money. The players are not protected. We got into this last week with when we had Dante Stallworth on and Richard Sherman's comments about the CBA and how players are going to have to be willing to strike. And it's true, because that union is a disaster. The NFL absolutely capitalizes on their players, and they toss them aside. It doesn't matter. Like the image, none of it. As long as they're getting their money and their owners are getting money, it doesn't matter. But let's get to the British Open really fast. Jordan Spieth had a fantastic back nine to be able to win the British Open at Royal Birkdale.
You're going to make a comment on his butt.
No, I'm not going to comment on his butt. He's too young for me. He turns 24 on Thursday, which is to the story, not about his butt, but about his age. He won the 2015 Masters, the U.S. Open, plus the 2017 British Open now as of yesterday. And if he wins the PGA Championship next month at Quail Hollow, he would be, he'll have a career Grand Slam, something that only a few players have ever done. Gene Sarzen, Hogan, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, and Tiger Woods. That is five names right there? He's not even 24 years old yet.
Pretty prestigious group.
And we can't play the sound from the 13th hole when he hit it off the tee and he hit it into, as they said in the article, the spinach. And then there was took 29 minutes to play that hole because he had three options in terms of what he did. He could not play it out of there, so he could drop it. There was like a number of different things. He ends up playing it from the driving range. And he took a one-stroke penalty, and he got out with a bogey, and then he went on to win the whole thing. But let's go to the 16th hole real fast. Me. I can't do a British accent, but it's like my favorite one, but we'll hear more of it here.
I want this guy to narrate my life.
I know, seriously. You know, so I want everyone at home to do this. And if you're driving, don't do it right now, but just a little hint for you. If you have an iPhone, something brilliant that I saw over the weekend, I want you to ask Siri very slowly, I see a little silhouette of a man. Just do that. Just make that statement to Siri and you are going to laugh your ass off and what happens. But basically the whole point of that is like I told everyone, got a bunch of comments on it, and somebody's like, oh, I have a British male as my Siri. And well, I have an Australian male as my Siri. So basically, Matt, if you get rid of you have an Android, right?
I do. I'm a loser.
Get rid of that and, you know.
I like
Android. Go to iPhone and then you can make your choice of,
you can have Google.
The British accent and you can have your Siri narrate your life. Here, let's go to the final hole. It's pretty amazing. And that really was a very exciting final Sunday at the British Open. Jordan Spieth coming out on top. And we'll see what he's able to do next month. But we saw what happened at the Masters. So that's the thing about golf. Can we just say that? When a golfer implodes and loses their mind, right? A couple bad shots, everyone can relate to that. But when like a basketball player does it or football player fumbles, like everyone will kill him for that. But like golf, it's like, oh man, it's
tough.
We've
all been there.
It's tough. They can understand it. Coming up next for our final segment, I'm going to have some Guns N' Roses tickets to give away. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. Plus, Matt George, our resident A's honk, is going to give us an update on some very actual important stories surrounding the Oakland Athletics. All that when we come back right here on The Drive. That's right. Guns N' Roses tickets for you this segment. Stay tuned. We're going to be giving them away at the end of the segment. You can call 339-1140 for your chance to win two pairs to see Guns... Well, wait. A pair of tickets, two tickets, to see Guns N' Roses on November 18th at Golden One Center. More information at khdk.com. Plus, rumor has it, we have more tickets to give away this week. And just a heads up, when Dave comes back, he's going to make you work for these tickets. The only work that I'm requiring is that you listen to us. So there's that. So all of the people calling on the line right now, we're not giving them away till the end of the segment. Just give us an opportunity here because Matt, usually we would do it, but since Dave is gone, Matt is going to be more involved in this segment, so he can't be answering your phone calls.
It's my fault.
It's your fault. Real quick, we're going to take this caller. Darren, welcome to the show. You have something to say about Kyrie Irving?
I don't understand it because, you know, Kyrie can't be Kyrie without LeBron. I mean, LeBron's made a lot of don't get me wrong, Kyrie's great and everything like that, but mm-hmm. How were the Cavs before LeBron came back there, right?
Right.
I mean, what was their record of the playoffs when Kyrie was the leader of the team?
Well, you can also make the argument, right, Darren, that Kyrie was still pretty young in his career and he's a better player now and has developed. Does that hold any weight for you?
A little bit, but not much. I mean, you know, LeBron makes everyone better. You know, a lot of the focal point is on LeBron. Kyrie gets, you know, I think also to the Cavs, aren't going to do something right away. I think we're going to see this cool down for a couple weeks, and maybe something's going to happen. It'll definitely happen before camp, but I'm kind of getting my gut's telling me, like, maybe end of August, September.
Yeah,
unless they get a really good offer.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, Darren, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I agree. I feel like they kind of have their hands tied, and they should trade him just because what team wants to have a player that doesn't want to be there? And I think it would be difficult enough handling kind of whatever turmoil or chaos, whatever word you want to use. I think it's difficult in a locker room, and I'm telling you, I've been there. If there were a player on a team that I was playing on that everyone knew wanted to be traded and weren't traded, that would be a very difficult situation to maneuver in terms of team chemistry in a locker room. But we'll see what happens there. I don't know. But in other news, we've been so heavy on the NBA today, but there's been a couple A's stories that have piqued our interest. And so I'm going to allow our resident A's honk, Matt George, to kick off the conversation.
Yeah, Susan Slusser of the San Francisco Chronicle, she was in New York with the team when they took on the Mets this weekend. And Yoenis Cespedes, who began his career with the A's, he's pretty much a fan favorite. He was traded away in, I think, the 2015 season or 2014 season, something like that, for a move for John Lester when the A's were trying to make a World Series push. Obviously, that didn't end up working out. But Cespedes was a big fan favorite here in Oakland, and Susan got the chance to chat with him. He's making big money and putting up big numbers in New York. And he told her that he would like to end his career as an Oakland A, which is a pretty cool thing to hear as an Oakland A's fan. But don't jump to conclusions. He's not saying he wants to be traded this year or next year to the A's. He's still young, and he's got a good 5-6 years left of his prime, at least we hope, unless he gets hurt.
So, it kind of goes to the conversation for A's fans of, we just can't have nice things. You know what I mean? Like, they do in the news about Sonny Gray potentially being on the market and what they're asking for that. We'll get into that in a second. But it seems to me, as you know, I get to know A's fans a little bit better, they're so beaten and battered. They like these young guys. The A's do a tremendous job of finding young talent, developing young talent, and then they give it away and they send it off, and it's basically the farm system for the rest of the, you know, of the league, which we understand the dynamics of why that's happened, the ownership not wanting to pay, so on and so forth. You got into a really big tiff last week and went off on Billy Bean and his comments. But if you have a guy that wants to end his career, that's a nice thing to see. But Matt, the question is, okay, you want to end your career there. Do you want to be a part of it maybe sooner than the last year of your, you know what I'm saying? Don't you want him to be back?
I think it depends on what kind of team they also put out there on the field. If they indeed are, like Billy says, going to spend their money to keep players and have players around, what better way to open a new ballpark in 3 to 5 years than with Yoenis Cespedes as part of your roster? And that would certainly be something good. I mean, yes, I have been hard on Billy for his comments, but the Yoenis Cespedes trade was a trade that ended up really hurting the A's in the long run. And in the short run, actually, they went from the best team in baseball to having one of the worst second halves in baseball after that Cespedes trade. But I will defend that trade to the moon and back for Billy Bean, because Billy made that move after 2 straight years of the A's being kicked out of the playoffs by losing to the Detroit Tigers, because the Tigers had better pitching. The A's couldn't match the Tigers' pitching. That's when Verlander was just top of the tier. So you make a move to get John Lester, you have to trade Cespedes away in order to get Lester in to make a World Series push. It makes total sense. It just didn't work out. Billy gambled and he lost. So I totally defend him in that sense. But the comments about, oh, now we need to keep a team together, it just stings a little bit with Donaldson.
Speaking about pitching, obviously we know how critical and crucial it is for a team's overall success. And really the biggest, you know, asset that the A's have had for some time now has been Sonny Gray. He's had some injury issues, so on and so forth. But now, of course, as we are used to, as, you know, A's Nation here, his name being mentioned in trade rumors, which... not surprising.
And this pill's a little easier to swallow because Sonny Gray has had 2 down years.
Yeah.
Over the last 2 years, he hasn't pitched more than 200 innings, which is a major reason why his price tag has dropped significantly. 3-4 years ago, he had double-digit wins and only 4 or 5 losses, and he was an all-star candidate. And now with the injuries and with the way the game, the team has gone and the way they're playing, he's gone down a little bit. However, his last 2 starts, he's turned in really, really good performances. So you're hoping that raises his value a little bit. There are teams out there that are going to be contenders, like the Yankees and like the Astros, who could use them in their rotation. But I think the A's are trying to sell him as a number 2 or number 1 guy when he's really not going to be that for any buyer.
Well, and the Yankees are the one that's kind of the top of the rumor mill right now. What would you have to get for Sonny Gray for that to make sense? Because like you said, it's not like he's been pitching at his best.
Yeah. It's going to be a prospect load. That's what Billy does. He trades players away and brings in people that you're like, who? Never heard of this kid. And then 2-3 years, you see them on your roster. So, for example, in the Donaldson trade, they traded away for Brett Lowry, or however you pronounce it. He's no longer on the team. And then the shortstop, second baseman, Franklin Barreto. This year was the first year we got to see Barreto at the MLB level. He's currently in AAA, but he's bouncing back and forth. So now we're starting to see whether or not that was a good piece to get in return. So it all just depends. It's wishy-washy.
I'm going to do something that we never do. Hey, Matt, we haven't screened this phone call, but they're gone. All right. Well, let me let you guys know something right now. It's important. The California State Fair is going on. You can hang out with Sports 1140 and their street team, sponsored by Loyal Roots. They're going to be out at the State Fair tonight. Come and find the 1140 tent for awesome prizes from 6 to 10 p.m. More information at KHDK.com. I'm not going to say this with any authority, but this is just what usually happens since we're talking A's. Most of the time, the street team is giving out A's tickets, so there is a little bit of an incentive to do that. But, Matt, let's do it right now. We're going to go ahead and give away a pair of tickets to see Guns N' Roses on November 18th at Golden One Center. Oh, my goodness. Seriously. There's going to be more throughout the week. You can call right now, 339-1140. But we're just going to wrap up the show here really fast. Let's end with a positive note here. Let me pull this up. We're going to end with a positive, and you got to bear with me here.
While you're pulling it up, I'll just say the concerts that the Golden One Center has been getting over the recent month have been phenomenal.
You know, I'm so pissed off that I didn't get to go to Bruno Mars. Like, I'm secretly obsessed with him. I know I could put him in my pocket, but I might be that crazy woman that runs up on stage or is throwing, like, panties or something like
that.
He's used
to that. It's par for the course.
Oh, my God. But I feel like I would maybe be slightly intimidating to a man like Bruno Mars. I don't know.
Well, Bruno, Lionel Richie, and then isn't, what's her name coming?
Isn't Earth, Wind, and Fire?
They were already here. They had a concert last night.
It's Rihanna, right?
Hall & Oates was here last night.
Hall & Oates was there. Gosh, straight up 80s.
And then, what's her name? Ariana Grande's coming too. She's a big pop star.
Or Ariana. I don't know.
Whatever.
She is.
The grand one. The Grande one.
Okay. Hold on. Here's Jordan Spieth. Gotta love him. This is what I love about him. He's like humble. The fact that he walked off the course and before he went and got his trophy and his check, he stopped and hugged Matt Kuchar's wife and tried to console his crying son. Like, I love that about that. Thank you to Howard Beck, to Matt George, who has got so much stuff going on, running the show from behind the glass, taking part in it today. I know, usually at this point, you're just trolling us with the rebrew. We didn't have that today, so I appreciate that. You've got Jim Rome coming up after this. You've got the lowdown from 12 to 3. You've got Grant and Doug. And then A's baseball today at 4 o'clock. My gosh, stay tuned for your entire day right here on Sports 1140. This is Katie Christensen, and God willing, I will be back tomorrow.